Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. My name's Shane. Thanks for listening. I'd like to thank everybody who's subscribed to the podcast via iTunes and those who visit it via guitarpedaldemos.com. And of course, to everyone on YouTube who listens to this and watches it, howdy. I absolutely appreciate all the comments the podcast's been getting. It's a great discussion tool for getting people involved, and I always like hearing what people have to say. So this is one of those topics that might, I don't know if it'll upset people, but it'll actually make people think. One of my oldest guitars, actually my oldest guitar that I've got, is a Fender 50th Anniversary Deluxe Strat. Now, it came with SCN noiseless pickups, which I took out and have replaced. But over the years, I've noticed that one thing has stood out with Strats that just didn't sit right with me, and it took owning a Telecaster to realize this. When I listen to both a Strat and a Tele side by side, I almost think that there's night and day in terms of difference. People think, oh, it's not going to be that much difference. Maybe a Tele's inferior because it's only got two pickups as opposed to three. But I don't hear it that way at all. I hear the neck pickup a lot warmer and a lot rounder sounding than a Strat neck pickup. The Strat neck pickup is my favorite of the combinations you can get on a Strat. I absolutely love the neck pickup. I also like the in-betweens as well. But the thing I've noticed most about a Strat is, in comparison to a Telecaster, is it has more of a plastic overtone to its sound, and a Telecaster has more of a steely tone. Now, this is just my ear and the way that my ear works and the way that I hear things. Bridge pickup, fat, steely sound on the Telecaster, thin, sort of plasticky, steely sound on the Stratocaster. So there is a difference. If you side-by-side a Strat and a Tele, I don't know, I just can't get into the Strat as much anymore. There's certain Strat tones that I absolutely have loved over the years. You know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, John Mayer, there's a lot of players that, and guys, Mark Knopfler, that use Strats and they sing. But they just, most of the ones you find these days, I should say, they just sound very, very plasticky. Now, there are certain Strats that are good value for money that sound great. And that's another thing, too. I found over the years my Squire Classic Vibe Strat sounded basically as good as a custom shop Strat. Given it might not be reliced or it might not have, you know, a lot of the things that make it more expensive, but tone-wise, there's not a whole lot of difference, which, I don't know. I still hear the plastic overtone. I've gone through so many pickups on my Strat over the years to try and bring a little bit more life and steeliness to the sound, and it's just not there. It just isn't there. And while I love my Zex Coil pickups, I think that's the best that guitar sounded. When I hear Strats today, I just don't hear the sustain. I just don't hear the steeliness that Telecasters have and the fullness of the sound. They just sound like a de-evolution maybe of, you know, the Telecaster rather than an evolution, which was the idea. I know a lot of people love Strats, but, you know, I played my Telecaster the other night and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful guitar to play. It sounds full and fat and round and warm on the neck pickup. It still has that cut. The both pickup combination on a Tele is absolutely beautiful for rhythm stuff. It's the perfect mix of warmth and clarity. And the bridge pickup, man, just absolutely screamed. So please let me know your thoughts of what you think of the Tele versus Stratocaster vibe. Yeah, like I said, I love Strats. There's certain Strats that I hear and I like the sound of. But when it comes to me actually playing them and hearing them in person, I haven't found anything that comes close to that of a Telecaster tone-wise. I just haven't found it. I was asked on another one of my videos whether or not I thought that pedals were marketed more towards amateurs rather than professionals. Now I'll bring up some examples of people that use lots of pedals and some that use none. I absolutely think it relies mostly on whether or not you like the sound of that pedal or whether it can add to the music that you play. So a guy like The Edge from U2 uses loads of pedals, has a fantastic sound, he's got racks of effects, all that kind of stuff. John Mayer has more pedals than just about anybody in his chain. He's got, you know, truckloads of pedals in his studio. He takes lots of stuff out to his gigs as well. But then there's times where, you know, you'll see guys and they won't use any at all. And that's fine too. That guys like Clapton very rarely use pedals. He might use a wah or a chorus pedal or whatever from time to time, but he doesn't often use a lot of pedals. So it just depends on the person, the player, whether or not they need more pedals in their sound to give it that, you know, point of difference from their regular tone and just the music style that they're playing. So I don't think they're marketed towards amateurs more so than anybody. I think they're just marketed towards guitar players who like to vary their sound. From my experience, I love pedals. I think it adds more flavor to your sound. And from a audience perspective too, listening to the same guitar tone all night, you know, as a guitar player in the audience, it can be fine depending on the playing too. It all depends on the playing in the end, but I like to hear different effects in the mix, and that's just my ear. I think analog delay just adds a niceness to a guitar tone that a lot of people don't realize when you're actually out there listening. It just sort of smooths it all out in some ways. So please let me know your thoughts on this as well if you're watching on YouTube. And yeah, I absolutely appreciate all your feedback. But yeah, that's my two cents when it comes to who pedals are marketed towards. Okay, over to boutique pedals versus cheap pedals and the tones and the differences between them. Now, this is a really loaded type of topic because there's so many variables, but I want to go for the stuff that I know that's cheap, that's really good, and then compare it to the other stuff that I've got, which might be the original versions of those particular pedals. So I'm just on my website at the moment, intheblues.com.au, and I'm just going to go through some of the pedals that I have that I know are great. So basically, if you look at it like this, there's great stuff made in China, and there's not great stuff made in China. The stuff that I get for my particular website is stuff that I know that is good and that I actually use or can use live if I don't have my main board with me. So that's the idea. The things that I've got, I know are reliable. Sure, you're going to get stuff that doesn't work occasionally in the mix, but that's just the way it is. I bought an Ibanez Tube Screamer once, stopped working. The switch just completely died a few months into it. So stuff like that can happen at any price, but generally speaking, the stuff you pay good money for, as in $100 to $200 area or more, should be more reliable. And I put should in sort of quotation marks because you can never tell with electronics. If it's handmade, there might be mistakes. It's human error. So things like that are going to happen. Things can be loose. I know a guy who bought a $3,500 amp and, you know, there were things loose in the head and it drove him nuts until he worked out what was going on. So there's things like that that can happen no matter how much money you spend. But if you're looking at pedals in particular, then I think tone-wise, there's not always a huge difference if you buy the right stuff. So check out the Move-All pedals or the Move-All pedals, as I've now realized that's what they're called. Like move all as in, I don't know exactly what that means. But yeah, if you go over to the Minotaur, which is based on the Klon Centaur, I actually have a Klon, and side by side, they're so similar that the only person who's going to realize they're any different is you. Anyone who's listening to it will know that's a Klon, or they won't even know. They'll just know it sounds good if they're not a musician, I mean. But when you A-B them together, there's not a lot of difference in it, and that's just the way that it is. You can buy a more fancy clone, which would be the VFE pedals. Merman, which is also a great pedal. There's so many clones of clones out there that you can pretty much pick and choose. But in terms of what I've got, I'd definitely go for the Move-All Minotaur. You know, all the Tone City stuff is the same pedal as well, so I don't sell them anymore. But if you, you know, those kind of pedals are good quality and they're gig worthy as well. A friend of mine's had two of them on his board now for months and months and months, and he's had no problems with them, whereas his Electro Harmonix pedal gave him a lot of grief. So yeah, you know, you can take that however you like, but you know, it's just one of those things. Another great pedal is the Move-All Firefly as well, which is sort of like a low gain overdrive pedal. It sounds fantastic, and it's basically like a honey drive or honeybee drive or whatever it's called pedal. And yeah, man, they sound really sweet. Those kind of pedals are great. I also have a couple of others that I think most people don't realize they're as good as they are, like the Highwayman from Kalen, as well as the Pure Sky pedal. Both of those would stack up against a Timmy or a, you know, exotic RC booster kind of thing. They would both sound exceptionally good in comparison to the originals. And yeah, they're two that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm going to go down the list here. If you're watching on YouTube, then you can see I'm just clicking around on my computer here. I have changed my setup here too, so things do look maybe a little different to before. So here we go. I think in terms of cheap pedals as well, one of the things that I make sure that I don't buy is stuff that's noisy. So if you plug a cheap pedal in and it degrades your signal or it does something that it shouldn't, like it makes a clicking or a hiss noise when it's on or bypassed, that's the kind of stuff that I'll never buy. I get a chance, luckily, to test a lot of this stuff before I buy any of it. So I make sure that any of the lesser expensive pedals that I do have meet my standards as well, so I know other people will enjoy them. It's now apparent to most of us that Epiphone have moved their guitar manufacturing over to Indonesia. You know what's really tough for consumers, I guess, is I know for myself, I'm used to products made in China now, and I don't sort of distrust them if they're made right. It's that feeling all over again when a company moves to another location. They have to, you know, I guess there's some sort of quality control going on. But I've seen on some forums that the switches and so forth on some of the SGs and Les Pauls are actually in the wrong spot. I don't know if that bothers people that much, but hopefully the quality control of these new Epiphones is good, because, yeah, I think most people don't really want to buy a Chinese guitar if they can help it. Some people don't care, and that's fine. I'm not saying that they're bad guitars, but if you can get one that's made in the US or wherever else, Canada, Australia, whatever, you'll, you know, want to get one of those. But getting one in China is kind of like, oh, well, it's a good guitar. I know what to expect. The quality is pretty good. The sound's going to be good. But now it's moved again. So, yeah, I'm just wondering what everybody's thoughts are on the move to Indonesia. And if you actually have one of the guitars, please let me know what you think of the quality. If you've also compared it to a Chinese-made equivalent in the Epiphone range, please let me know. I mean, the Korean Epiphones were fantastic. There's a lot of great guitars in the China plant as well. I picked up a couple of Indonesian guitars recently and I put them back. I don't know that particular, I'm a lefty, so there's not a whole lot of options. There's like two in every shop, but I picked a few up and they just didn't feel like that even was set up properly. But, you know, whereas some of the Chinese ones I've played straight off the shelf feel great. So let me know your thoughts and let me know what you think of Epiphone moving to Indonesia. Several weeks ago, I had a chance to test out the new Blues Cube amplifiers from Roland. They've been out a while, but they've finally made it to Australia. And the Blues Cube Artist is the 80-watt one with the 212 speakers. I tested that out, and to be honest, I wasn't overly blown away by it. I thought it sounded okay, given I didn't actually have my guitar with me at the time. I was using like a Mexican Strat off the wall or a Tally or something, and I thought it sounded okay, but I just wasn't blown away by it. I thought for the price, it was not that great. And then recently I had a chance to check out the Cube Stage, the 60-watt one with the single 12 speaker. It sounded so much better, in my opinion. It could have been the room. It could have been at a few different factors. I had my guitar with me as well. But man, it is friggin' loud. I had it on the 45-watt mode. I didn't even realize. And I couldn't get it past halfway. It was seriously loud. Then I realized that it's got the power attenuator on the top. So you can crank it up to 60 watts by flicking it one more switch to the right. We can go down to like 15 watts, or you can go back down to half of a watt or something like that, or 1.5 watt, something like that anyway. And yeah, this single 12 combo was actually pretty sweet. I might actually go back and have another play. I went down there to test out the Vibro Lux, the new 68 Custom Deluxe one, which I absolutely loved. For those who don't know, I recently bought a Super Reverb, which has 410 speakers in it. And man, I love it. It's the best tone I've ever had, hands down. And the Vibro Lux, was absolutely awesome as well. So the gas is severely rising right now. I've got to take a cold shower and get away. But for those who are interested in the Blues Cube, give them both a shot. The small one is extremely light, extremely loud, and it just sounded great. I need to test out the bigger one again with my own guitar because I have a feeling that some of the spiky highs I were hearing might have been from the shop guitar. So yeah, that's my thoughts. Let me know if you've had a chance to check them out and what your thoughts are on them. Cheers. Thanks for listening to the In the Blues Tone podcast. If you want to have a chat to me, you can head over to intheblues.net or facebook.com/intheblues. Don't forget, my web shop is still online at intheblues.com.au. I've got some really cool stuff up on there right now, so don't forget, check out all the sale items as well as a few ex-demos on there you can get a really good bargain for. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, share the podcast around with your friends. Tell them to tune in via iTunes or via Android. It's available everywhere now, as well as at guitarpedaldemos.com for the technically challenged. There's an RSS feed there you can subscribe to. So thanks again, and I will catch you all very, very soon on a future podcast with hopefully some more co-hosts. So I plan on getting that happening. I've just, it's been a bit hard sort of timing it properly with people all over the world. So we'll see how we go with something like that down the track. So thanks again. I'll catch you all later. See ya.